Chapter 2. What's this thing called lifestyle? On first glance, you know that Betty and Rhonda are sisters. They have to be, because they look so much alike. And if you closed your eyes and just listened to them talking, you wouldn't know which one was saying what. Even their voices seem the same. But once you get to know them, you realize that you must have been mistaken. They may look alike and sound alike, but they certainly don't act alike. And there's just no way the two of them could come from the same family. Betty, for instance, has made a tremendous success of her life, and you can be sure of that just by looking at her. She dresses with impeccable taste, looks like she just stepped off the cover of Red Book magazine, and she stands tall and erect. She doesn't seem arrogant, but there is a certain pride about her, something that says she believes in herself. She's been with the same company for 15 years and recently earned the title of vice president. Her marriage is a success, too, as she's been able to balance the twin careers of business executive and wife-mother. She's been married to the same man for 13 years, and she and her husband are the proud parents of three well-behaved children. No doubt about it, Betty is one of the most together women you've ever met. So what happened to Rhonda? While Betty stands tall and erect, Rhonda stands slouched and scrunched up like an accordion. Her posture says that she doesn't respect herself very much, and her wardrobe, ill-fitting, mismatched clothes, certainly confirms that impression. Rhonda is every bit as intelligent as Betty, but for some reason she's never been able to do anything with her life. She's drifted from job to job, never able to hold on to one for more than a year or two, and she's been divorced twice. Since her last marriage ended, she's drifted in and out of relationships. She'd like to find a man to be her lifelong companion, but she's just about resigned herself to the fact that it will never happen. No, sir. Betty and Rhonda might look alike, but there's just no way they could be sisters. But they are. Women who grew up in the same family and are only 2 years apart in age. They attended the same schools, the same synagogue, enjoyed the same opportunities in life. So what happened? Why has Betty made something out of her life, while Rhonda is always getting herself into financial difficulty and calling on her sister to bail her out? The answer to this question is that each of these sisters is following her own particular lifestyle. This doesn't mean that Betty sat down at some point and drew up a plan for her life which included success in business and a happy marriage, nor does it mean that Rhonda has chosen to be somewhat less than a success. What it does mean, though, is that both of these women are following definite plans for their lives, plans that were developed early in their childhoods. The things they do, the choices they make, are determined by the lifestyles they are following, albeit subconsciously. What exactly is a lifestyle? Basically, it is a concept developed by the pioneer psychologist Alfred Adler. Adler believed that understanding a person's goals is a key to understanding a person's behavior. He believed that all of us are following individual lifelines or paths toward specific goals. Everything we do is oriented toward some goal, whether or not we understand what that goal is. When considering why someone never seems to measure up, it's important to take a look at the factors that enter into the makeup of his lifestyle. Many people, for various reasons, are following lifestyles that are bound up in cycles of rejection and failure, and we'll discuss some of these reasons as we go along. Attacking the roots of rejection. It is important for anyone who feels as if he can't measure up to get at the roots of the matter, to examine his lifestyle and discover how and why this continuous cycle of unworthiness got started. Once that is understood, the next step is to realize that life patterns can be changed and that new, constructive attitudes and actions can be put in place of the old. You've undoubtedly heard the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's not quite true, but it is harder to redefine and reshape the lifestyle once a person has reached adolescence. Personality is like wet cement up until age 7. Then it gets progressively harder. Your lifestyle is so deeply ingrained into your personality by the time you're, say, 14,